CliffCentral.com.
So what's happening in the world of motoring, George? Let's catch up.
Are you aware of the Bloodhound? It's not a dog.
Yes, I do know what this is because I met the guys who are doing it.
Yeah.
They're going to a place called Hakskeenpan.
Hakskeenpan in the Northern Cape.
And they are racing to beat the land world speed record.
So, in what?
In a jet-propelled car.
Oh, wow.
So Andy Green, who has done this before, is attempting to beat the existing record of 1,228 kilometers now.
1,228. Just think about when you put your foot down and you go 200. Listen, if you've ever been anywhere near that, you know that's terrifying. If you're in this thing and you hit a tiny little stone at those speeds, it's the end.
How safe is it?
That's why they go to Hakskeenpan.
And they've taken a couple of years to remove 16,500 tons of rock from 22 million square meters of Hakskeen's dry lake bed.
And then what happens is the wind blows once or twice and they have to do it all again. So it's a major operation.
So what they're doing is it's a slightly delayed project because it was rescued from bankruptcy. But they are going to try and reach, through the tests, 800 kilometers an hour to see how the car performs. And then they will gradually go up at 80 kilometers an hour on each run until they reach... Their goal is to reach 1,000 miles per hour, which is roughly about 1,600 kilometers an hour.
Oh, wow.
It's very fast.
I don't think it sounds like that.
No. Like an aeroplane. When it takes off is, 600 kilometers an hour or something?
Takeoff is just over 300, but it cruises at about 850.
Yeah. So this is faster than that.
It's amazing. On land.
Well, 1,000 miles an hour breaks the sound barrier.
See that?
Whoop.
You actually hear the what do they call it? The sonic boom.
Sonic boom.
Crazy.
It's a funny thing about the sonic boom that I learned is that the sonic boom doesn't only happen once. The sonic boom continues to happen. It's a continual sonic boom. You only hear it when you're in the same line of that sonic boom.
Wow, Dr. Robin, ever heard a sonic boom from one of your patients?
Not from their vaginas.
All right, what else, George?
And then this little gentleman by the name of Mokgadi Matshaba, age 20, in Limpopo, has built his own car for 5,000 rand by visiting scrapyards over a period of about 5 years.
Amazing.
Does it even run?
Yes, it does. It's got a Tata grill.
That's impressive.
And he's built his own car using scrap spare parts.
You know, people will say this guy's car looks terrible, but I'll say that if you have nothing and you are prepared to spend 5 years in scrapyards gathering all the things you need and you can make a working car, I would give that guy the job if he came to me. You know what ingenuity that requires? You know how much work, and I doubt very much he went to engineering school.
No.
He figured this all out on his own.
So he wants to be an engineer.
He's a genius.
Absolutely.
My dad built his first car. My grandfather refused to buy him one, so he built it.
Really?
Yeah.
From Dad Henry Ford?
From what? Bits of wood around the house?
No, he got parts. He sourced parts and built his car.
Wow, that's amazing. Incredible.
See, so there are these people.
Did it have a name?
It was an Alfa.
An Alfa.
Mm.
Oh, wow. So so he built this car, cost him about 5,000 rand. And,
good for
him. And he takes his mother to church every Sunday. His mother lives on a grant and brings up... Mokgadi.
Well, that's amazing. How old is he now?
He is 20.
That's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal.
What a great guy. You see, this is a real hero. We shouldn't be celebrating politicians
and
business people. We should be celebrating this guy.
So that means he started his search from the age of 16.
Yeah, around all his teenage years, he's been focused on building this car. And then South African drivers...
That's how his car sounds.
Funnily enough, I didn't tell you, but he put an electric motor in this car.
Amazing.
Which was interesting. He used a motorbike gearbox and he put an electric motor in the car.
Phenomenal. No, that's the best story we've ever had on this Auto Central feature.
So I do add value.
Yeah, you do.
At some point.
It's great. That's a great story. Okay.
South African drivers could be taxed 100 rand for every traffic fine they get issued. So within the fine print of the new Road Traffic Act, the act makes provision for 100 rand fine like an administration fee every time you get fined. So if you get a 100 rand fine, your fine will actually be 200 rand. If you get a 1,000 rand fine,
you're not going to pay that one either. Good luck. Losers.
Well, let's move on to something more exciting. Hyundai develops cruise control with artificial intelligence. So, you know the adaptive cruise control where you switch it on and it kind of keeps the distance behind the car in front of you? Now, a lot of people don't want to use that cruise control. Are you afraid of using it?
Well, I was driving in, my car doesn't have it, but I was driving in another car a while ago and it did have that feature. It makes me nervous though.
Yes, so that's what the research found, is that the majority of people get nervous to use it because the car reacts in ways that are not congruent with their behavior.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Car doesn't slam on its own brakes.
So it would suddenly slow down and you didn't make it do that.
Well, you did you not make it do that, it doesn't slow down in the same fashion as you would naturally slow down. Ooh.
So what you're probably in that situation where you go, you want to put down your pedals as if someone else is driving.
Or there's a slight delay in the braking and you would have braked earlier. Have you felt that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so this artificial intelligence starts to learn your driving style and patterns and then applies that driving style to the adaptive cruise control. When you switch on the adaptive cruise control a car brakes in front of you, it will mimic what you would have done.
Right.
Imagine you're a really late breaker by nature.
Well, I'm sure safety features. And then a very interesting story. They've taught rats to drive.
Yeah, but this is old. Rats have always been. Haven't you seen the movies?
No.
Okay, I thought that everybody knew.
I've seen a mouse on a BMW steering wheel, but not rats driving.
Oh, that movie. So what they did was they put an aluminium plate with a bar connected to a little electric set of wheels, and they had three electrodes on the bar, and the left electrode made the little electric skateboard, for lack of a better term, turn left, and the right electrode made it turn right, and the middle one made it go straight.
So you're saying these mice are actually driving.
Yes.
It's not special effects CGI driving.
Apparently not. So this was at the University of Richmond. Hopefully the University of Richmond are above board.
Okay.
And by giving them Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
That's the incentive they needed.
Rats seem to do anything.
They were able to get the rats to navigate.
That's what
navigate.
I was going to say. That's what we pay Sia with.
Fruit Loops.
We pay him in Fruit Loops. You're running around.
Yeah. Thought he was a Fruit Loop.
Yes.
Stop at the compliments.
All right.
So they were able to get the rats to navigate towards this Fruit Loop. But that's not even the best part of the story. The best part of the story is that they measured the hormones in the rats before and after the driving experience, and they were more relaxed and less stressed after driving. So the big question is, would self-driving cars actually make us more stressed because driving gets our stress levels to go down?
Well, it depends on your attitude, right? I mean, when I drive in the morning to work, it's usually not that hectic on the roads, and for me it's almost a meditative experience. Yeah, you kind of relax, you think about what you got to do that day. It's nice. If it's crazy and it's traffic and it's and you're late and it's hot or it's
then it's irritating.
Yeah,
it's absolutely irritating.
So George, I drove one of these, a Tesla S, when I was in New York recently. First of all, I drove it on the other side of the road.
You took that picture just to make me envious, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
just to make you envious. So I was driving it in New York on Long Island. It was pretty amazing. I didn't go onto the wrong side of the road. It's beautiful inside. It's like you've got this big center console. It's like a massive iPad, effectively. And it's just an amazing thing to drive.
Model S.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. So
my favorite car in the world.
Is it your favorite car in the world?
Favorite car in
the
world.
Oh. Oh.
Tesla.
Yeah. Here I am at the controls. It's a very nice
Did you put it on self-driving?
I didn't because, again, for the same reason. This was the first time I've driven one, and I wasn't going to take a chance.
And you were in New York on the wrong side of the road.
In someone else's car.
Yeah. So.
You're one of the very few in South Africa that I think have ever driven a Tesla.
Wow.
It's an amazing car.
It's, I've been to their factory. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Elon Musk even said to me I did okay.
Oh.
That's what your friend.
Yeah, that's the friend.
Doesn't he call in here from time to time?
Sometimes, like mm-hmm. Prince Charles. We get a lot of calls from important people.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so that's very nice. What else you got for us?
Last story. Google and Facebook are reading our license plates.
Oh, of course, they're reading everything in your life. Google knows more about you than you do.
And what are they going to do with it? Again, I don't mind if someone knows my license plate. I drive with it sticking out for everyone to see.
You have to.
Yeah.
That's it all.
If you look out the window, you can see it now.
Robin and Leanne, very unperturbed by how much information Google have on them. Yeah.
I don't know if this is outside of America yet, but if you put your try and put your license plate into Google Images and into Facebook for that matter, and see whether a picture of your car surfaces. The more a car has pictures, the more a car has been pictured, the more likely it is to pop up in search.
Mm.
Okay.
My car is actually on Facebook with its license plate out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I first got it.
Well, somebody did a test just to see whether this was true. His name was Jason Torchinski. And he took a photograph of his car, put it onto Facebook, and says, I'm just testing as to whether my car would be found if I typed in my license plate into search. And lo and behold, he typed in his license plate into the search box, and his post came up.
See, they wow. Now, but this is useful because haven't you ever been behind someone in the traffic and thought, I want to know who that douchebag is.
It's also useful for me when I'm scouting for new men.
Jesus, yeah.
Not even joking, I am going problem. To use this.
Could you stop drooling when
what,
you say
you mean
that?
You see, when you see someone in traffic?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you can tell the Fruit Loops from the non-Fruit Loops.
Sia, that is a terrible place for you to be looking for.
Sorry, folks, I need to go.
In the traffic?
I'm
that's
very
like
busy.
Rummaging in the garbage for something.
It will not be when they're driving a Tesla S.
Or a Ferrari.
Yeah. Oh, this is a game changer. I think this is great.
It's a new stalking tool, let me tell you.
Sia loves to stalk.
All right, everybody, have a happy day. It's Friday, and we will be with you on Monday morning, 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an excellent weekend. CliffCentral.com.